This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Monday the 10th of March. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen and this is your BizNews briefing. Every Sunday, BizNews' Chris Stain sits down with the leader of the United Independent Movement, Neil De Beer. This week, they spent some time drilling down into presidential hopefuls, those that are lining up to succeed President Ramaphosa as president of the African National Congress. Let's take a listen.
Talking about the police minister, Neil, I just want to go to the presidential race for the African National Congress. I hear that he has emerged as one of the favorites, allegedly.
Yeah, at this current moment, that word allegedly, blijkbaar, miskien, it's irritating, but we will have to use it because we might be standing in the next court trial next to Curry. So I just want to make it very sure.
No, we'll be in a different courtroom, Neil.
We'll be in a different court, and we'll have enough Kentucky dropped off there that will keep me and you above 180 kilograms. Kyk, die mense sal vir ons kos bring, laat ons later aan die hele departement kan kos gee. They say your best friend comes to court and brings you food, but your ultimate friend sits in jail with you. So, but Chris, let's talk about that. Interesting how the movements within the ANC is working its way up to that crescendo of the 27 conference. And Chris, it's become very, very soon. So who do we know? Well, we've known Lusufi, the word Lusufi, candidate one. Undoubtedly, Fikile Mbalula, and we'll talk about him now, the new attack on him. But yeah, Fikile. Then we have Mr. Paul Mashatile, ek dra nog dokkets. And then, Chris, we heard of another entry. We did speculate that maybe Ronald Lamola would be in that pathway because he was given ministries that are quite significant so that he could be showcased, but I'm sorry to tell you, we'll also talk about the America right punch to South Africa now, which doesn't bode well for Lamola because he's been sidelined. Then, Chris, last week, Tuesday, enter the name, but not surprised by us at BizNews, Patrice Motsepe. That name, for 10 years now, being surfacing around, billionaire, given money because of BEE. Travesty of justice. Very much family of Cyril in wedlock and now surfacing up as a possible candidate. And then, Chris, the latest one, as we now know, 2 days ago, a opinion piece coming out and saying, but what about Umchunu? I looked at that, Chris, and said, okay, interesting. Why Umchunu? And the person that muted the name said, because of his character, because of the way that he does things, that he is not a sporadical radical. He's a thinker. He is respected by the rest of, by the way, the cabinet. He's now been given the poison chalice of police. And Chris, ups and downs, if you have to score him, he's at least over a 6.57 in his performance. Very interesting that Umchunu is now being put onto the table. And may I say, Chris, if you asked me, not under torture, but threaten me with a malt tart slice, I would say Umchunu is coming in on the back of syrup, not on the backing of the radicals that want to get rid of the GNU. I think if you look at Umchunu, you could class him as a moderate middle. Within his politics. And Chris, I must tell you, if so, I wouldn't hesitate to support a person like that to also be given a chance amongst these other hyenas who just are baiting for the blood of tender soil and more money.
One of those presidential hopefuls, Mr. Fikile Mbalula, is facing resistance from within his own party. Some ANC bigwigs are gunning for him.
Yeah, Chris, I think sometimes he so democratic guns for himself. I mean, this person, at the end of the day, if he was put into a brewery, couldn't organize you a draft. If you look at the history of Mr. He calls himself fear it nothing, Fikile, there's a word that I add always to him. It is the same wording of F, but I would like to tell him in the brewery while I've drunk a Heineken what I think of him, because I feel very nothing for this incapacitated human being. And I'm not talking about the person. I'm talking factually about his dismal track record as a cabinet minister. I mean, because he stuffed up sport because he didn't have a clue what Yuxka is. He went into the policing service, not even understanding that a 9mm isn't the size of your belt. It is the cartridge that you wear. Then this guy ran around and is now the Secretary General of the largest liberation movement in the world, a political party in sham. And he's jumping up and down and making as if he is, in actual fact, the president. And at such a stage, arrives in a very poor place to do a speech, but he gets out of a 3 million black Gelagenwagen. I mean, the kind of shoes, belts, and brilla that this guy wears could probably fund Eskom on its own generation. And it doesn't click, this frog, that at the end of the day, people don't like him because he doesn't care. So there you've got now Fikile Mbalula with huge presidential aspirations. You know, he's an absolute wealth of intelligence. Didung. And he gets up and he says, well, I'm going to charge people now.
In a riveting interview on Friday, Chris spoke to Nitsana Darshan-Leitner, who is the founder and president of Shirad Hadin Israel Law Center, who led a group of 160 lawyers in calling on American authorities to investigate allegations that the African National Congress leaders were bribed to take Israel to the International Court of Justice for genocide. The Trump administration is allegedly investigating the situation and may use the Magnitsky Act to sanction South African officials if it is found that they were in fact involved with corruption or did receive bribes for going after Israel at the International Court of Justice.
You know, it was not coincidence that ANC in almost in bankruptcy and suddenly it pulls out of debt. All of a sudden, after a very known and famous and recorded visit of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to Iran. Look, one of the tools that Hamas is trying to use is the lawfare, is the taking Israel to court anywhere they can. They did it in the ICC, in the International Criminal Court, and now they are doing it in the ICJ, in the International Court of Justice. And because they cannot win Israel in the military field, they go to other tribunals where they have an advantage. And they're using South Africa as their useful idiots. And they're just coming and forcing them to serve their legal arm. Israel did not commit any war crimes. The one who committed the war crimes was Hamas when they came into our envelopes, communities, and massacred and raped and burned people alive, babies, elderly women, and obviously kidnapped 250, which of 50 of them still in captivity. And yet the courts are going after Israel as the war criminal. If it wasn't for South Africa, I don't think there was a country that would agree to allege such frivolous allegations against Israel. Get off our back. just stay away from Israel. It's not your issue. It's not your cause. It's not your business. If you want to depress your own people, go ahead, but keep the Middle East away from you. It's not your issue. Hamas is a terror organization. You should realize that. And one more thing, Hamas will not end with Israel. Hamas is going to the West. And South Africa, in this way or another, has some root in the West. So he should be careful as well.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking, out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Turning our attention to international news, our colleagues at Bloomberg are reporting that President Trump is confident that Putin is very close to coming to the negotiating table with the firm intention of achieving a peace deal with Ukraine.
Putin is bombing Ukraine.
Yeah.
Do you still believe him when he tells you that he wants peace?
You know, I believe him. I believe him. I think we're doing very well with Russia. But right now they're bombing the hell out of Ukraine. And Ukraine, I'm finding it more difficult, frankly, to deal with Ukraine. And they don't have the cards. They don't have the cards. As you know, we're meeting in Saudi Arabia on sometime next week early. And we're talking, would I find that in terms of getting a final settlement, it may be easier dealing with Russia, which is surprising because they have all the cards. I mean, they're bombing the hell out of them right now. And I put a statement in, a very strong statement. Can't do that. Can't do that.
Mr. President.
We're trying to help them. And Ukraine has to get on the ball and get a job done. Michael, could you come up here? I see Michael back there. Good. I'm glad. He's traveling all over the world. I just saw him come in the door.
Yeah,
could you give a little definition of what's going on, please?
Sure. Well, the president has been crystal clear, and he's been clear to all sides. The fighting has to stop. Both sides need to get to the table. We had a good engagement. Both leaders have said only President Trump could do so, and only he has been able to do so. We had an initial engagement with the Russians. The Ukrainians had a great opportunity to bind our economies together through that mineral deal. Unfortunately, that didn't go so well, but we think we're going to get things back on track. Secretary Rubio, myself and the Ukrainian delegation will be meeting in Saudi Arabia next week to get these talks back on track, get a ceasefire in place, and drive peace home under President Trump's leadership.
I think both parties want to settle. I think if I wasn't president, this war would have had no chance of settlement, zero chance. But I think we're going to get it settled and stopped. We got to stop. They're losing on average 2,000 soldiers a week. That's a lot of soldiers. Do you agree, Peter?
It's a lot of soldiers on both sides. I agree. Do you, Mr. President, think that Vladimir Putin is taking advantage of the U.S. pause right now on intelligence and military aid to Ukraine?
No, I actually think he's doing what anybody else would do. I think he's he wants to get it stopped and settled. And I think he's hitting them harder than he's been hitting them. And I think probably anybody in that position would be doing that right now. He wants to get it ended, and I think Ukraine wants to get it ended, but I don't see it's crazy. They're taking tremendous punishment. I don't quite get it, but I suspect, Michael, he probably wants to get it ended.
He does, Mr. President. The Russians are taking incredible losses on the front. As the president has said, this is a meat grinder of people, of material, of national treasure, and no one else has any solutions except to let this war continue forever. But I'll add, the president has had multiple conversations and a visit from President Macron of France, Prime Minister Starmer of the United Kingdom. We have the NATO Secretary General coming next week. We have this meeting with the Ukrainians. We've had it with the Russians. All of this in the president's first month and his leadership. We will engage in the shuttle diplomacy, and we will continue to use his leadership and what leverage we have to get both sides of the peace table.
Our partners at the Financial Times pull focus on Ghana in West Africa, which is a major global producer of two things that people like very much, namely gold and cocoa. But an illegal mining boom of the precious metal is taking over the country's cocoa farms. It's now ruining Ghana's water supply and driving up global chocolate prices.
Ghana is a major global producer of two things that a lot of people like, gold and cocoa. But an illegal mining boom of the precious metal is taking over the country's cocoa farms. It's now ruining Ghana's water supply and driving up global chocolate prices. My colleague Anu Adeoye has been on the ground with local farmers, and he joins me now. Hey, Anu.
Hey, Kasia.
So explain what's going on here. How are Ghanaian cocoa farmers running up against illegal gold miners?
As you say, Ghana has an abundance of cocoa and gold. And gold prices are rallying right now due to uncertainty in, you know, global markets. It's a safe haven. And because of this high price of gold, there's a lot of people in Ghana who are prospecting for gold. And they're coming up against cocoa farmers destroying farmlands and ruining the water supply in Ghana.
All right, so the price of gold is really booming right now, but how does it compare to the chocolate market?
You know, cocoa prices are also going up globally, but in Ghana, there's a price mechanism involving the government called Cocoa Board. It's a state-owned enterprise that pays Ghanaian farmers for their cocoa. The idea of this is that it protects farmers from the worst of cocoa price swings. But this also means that they don't typically get the high prices. Farmers I spoke to said they are currently getting about a third of what a ton goes for on London markets.
So in part because of these price caps, gold mining is starting to maybe look more lucrative than cocoa farming in Ghana. But you mentioned that it's also causing a lot of environmental problems. What are some of the consequences of this illegal mining?
It's been ruining the environment in Ghana, frankly. The gold miners, when they dig, they then flood the land with copious amounts of water and chemicals and then try to suss out the gold using pans and their hands. This means that the water in Ghana is contaminated. The Ghana Water Company, which is the state-owned enterprise that supplies water to Ghanaians, recently came out to say that water supply is going to be cut by 75% in some regions. And there are experts who are warning the country that if something is not done to improve the situation rapidly, Ghana might have to start importing drinking water.
Is there anything being done about it?
I mean, one thing I should say is that artisanal and small-scale mining has been a thing in Ghana for quite some time now. But the fact of the matter is nothing serious has been done. There was a report that was commissioned by the government in 2021. It came out and concluded that there is massive corruption on the part of well-connected political elites who are funding illegal gold miners. You know, a lot of promises have been made, but there hasn't actually been any concrete plans laid out on how to tackle the scourge of illegal gold mining.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on both the local and global front. Thanks as always for watching.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.